Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 465 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glennie.
And I say, how are we, fellas? But we've got a sick person in the building. Well, in the building, in our midst. And it would appear that potentially the host that you would think would be the last one to get hit with the old COVID.
Why is that?
Well, just the, you know, remote.
Oh, yeah, fickle.
Yeah, Toowoomba, like, being a small population, more remote, you know, like, Toowoomba's less population density.
Toowoomba's filthy. Like, you and I bathe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Glenny probably does too, mostly, you think.
A trough doesn't count.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah,
hostility. Well, I mean, you want to talk about my hostility? Listen to this cunt.
No, yeah,
fucking game on, right, eh? Well, fucking prep this shit. Fucking
wasn't
bring
like
it
this,
on.
You hit record. It wasn't like this before we hit record. Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, the record button is in sync with Jay's hostility button. I didn't realise, but I'm up to speed now.
The record button happens to activate his fucking prostate massage at the same time, and now he's feeling fucking frisky. But it appears, pending PCR results that are yet to come back from a test done today, it would appear that Glennie is the first to suffer the dreaded pangolin's kiss.
Oh, it's very poetic, mate.
History making, as this would be the first sports broadcast show in the world to be live with a COVID positive host, whereas every other host went into fucking cowardly hiding. But here's
exactly.
Glennie. Here's Glennie showing up.
Just fucking show up. It's what I do.
There's a job to be done, still a show up.
Yeah.
And there he is.
That's right.
So,
fucking bullshit, but like, here I am.
This is Madge at a press conference level showing
hang
up.
Hang on. I appreciate the rap, but I'm not worthy of that.
Like, do you know how hard it is for
cunt.
Him?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not worthy of that sort of rap. That poor cunt fucking trotting out last year, fucking dead man walking every time. Oh.
That's true. He got on TV as well.
Yeah,
so I guess that puts him over the top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he did all our full access, or, you know, pretty much full access to cameras. But how are you feeling anyway, Glennie? Talk us through it.
Probably. I feel like I've turned a corner today, but the nights have been pretty rough. Last night I had fevers and I think it was, what was it, Friday night when I was talking to you guys.
Yep.
During the second half of the Tigers game. By the time we wrapped that up, I was not well. And I woke up, I had a rough night's sleep, woke up Saturday morning and very, very ordinary. And did a rat test, one of those spit tests where the second line was definitely there, and I sent Nate a picture of it, and I sent both boys a picture in the text group, and I think I didn't want to believe it, so I was like, oh, it's a bit faint. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Maybe, but fuck, then I just started feeling worse and worse. And yesterday I was, like, really short of breath, like, just doing fuck all. Like, I worked on the computer and did a heap of stuff, and I was not active at all, and I was fucking struggling for a breath.
Yeah.
And, yeah, last night, like I said, fevers and a bit of a rough night's sleep, and I feel a bit better today, but I can starting to feel a little bit clammy and stuff now as the night sets in. So, anyway, we'll see what tonight brings.
Can I just say, like, back just on Friday, though, when you started coming down with it and you said you had a rough night's sleep and everything, patrons would understand that you were trying to kill it with vodka at that point.
No, look, I had one drink. which I tend to do, and quite often I should fucking drink more dealing with you cunts, but because if anyone's going to, if anything is going to drive someone to drink, it's you two, and worse stuff.
Who's like texted? Who's texted support to you more than us today and yesterday? Every day, this weekend.
You do endeavour to balance it out. Which is a fair effort because there's a fucking tidal wave of bullshit that comes my way. But then you balance it out with a couple of nice texts and also some correspondence with my wife, which falls into the tidal wave of bullshit.
Can I tell you, one of the highlights of my weekend was driving along in my car with Emily next to me, having that text conversation with the group being read to me by Siri in the car. with me chipping in and telling Siri what to say and giggling to myself. And her looking over at me, finally understanding that, you know, she is committed to spending days with a fucking 12-year-old.
It is a special bond that we share.
I'm just scrolling through that text chain and it's fucking hilarious, yes.
I will say Jax does have a special thank you for Uncle Jay, because you did give the final nudge that was required to sign off and order and pay for a pair of MB1s. For him to play in. So
did you get them from that link I sent you, or did you do your own research?
No, I got them from Foot Locker. I don't know where the link
good,
you sent.
Yeah. Good. That's fine.
Yeah,
because when I sent you, they were sold on like StockX or something for $280.
Yeah, no.
Retail in Foot Locker, they're only $200.
$200. So. Yeah, no. I paid $200, and they were his size. So, he's pretty fucking chuffed.
Oh, how good!
So, thank you. He says thank you. I say thank you. His mother does not
joins the fray.
Yeah, his mother not happy. Not happy at all.
Really? So this is your thing now, Glennie. What are you going to get for her?
No, I don't have to get her shit. She's not that kind of girl, mate.
Mate, she's standing by you while you're struck down with COVID, mate.
And you're essentially saying
she walks within 2 meters of me, and she covers her face with her fucking cardigan or wears a mask around me.
So hang on. You care about your kids and you won't let her buy shoes. Is this the modern equivalent of keeping her barefoot and pregnant?
She buys whatever she wants, mate. I don't control what she buys. I don't have to buy her anything. She's an independent woman. She don't need no man. But she's got one, unfortunately for her. But it doesn't mean he's going to buy a shoe. She goes out and buys whatever fucking shoes she wants. Last time she bought shoes, she bought 9 pairs. I think it cost a grand sum total of about $80.
But don't you think she'd be nice rocking up with some fly kicks to Jackson's basketball game?
I bought her fly kicks for Christmas, actually.
What did you buy her?
A pair of pink Adidas.
No.
Yes. She fucking loves them.
Kicks. Not fucking orthopedic.
You need to understand, and I would love... Well, I'm going to preface this, that asterisk, but I would love for you to spend some time with her so you understand who the fuck you're dealing with. So I feel like you've got her all wrong. But,
Glenny, I don't see who people are. I see what people can be.
Okay. That's very interesting. I think you guys would have a ball. And, if Nathan was in the room, fuck, my buddy. Buddy, I'll just text my buddy.
We just need Nathan to buy a pair of shoes.
You
want to see what people can be? And, I mean, like at the moment, Glennie obviously suffering from COVID, so, yeah, she could be a widow.
Fuck. You could be adding to your harem without too much effort whatsoever, if I'm honest. fucking hell. Hilarious.
Right. Let's get into some results before you fucking implode. I can hear he's sniffling away. And as a special treat for fans, I mean, who haven't had, the listeners who haven't had Glennie on the show, you know, he's only come back like the start of last year. I mean, it was a feature of the July, August episodes with Glennie sniffing his way through
fucking
the entire
trotters
episode back
every time.
Pre-2016
or whatever
it was.
Oh, sniff's back. Oh, God, fuck, I missed the sniff.
So here you go. Get all nostalgic, because I'm pretty sure you're going to get Glennie sniffing his way through this one as well. So, yeah, feel that. Feel the warm glow of your own satisfying reminiscences.
And as always, if you don't like it, please write in and then fuck off and don't listen.
Yeah, and for those, you don't need to send those to the This Week in League account. You can just send them straight to @sportsfanslife. I don't need to vet them first
on 0421
at all.
Look, my right. mobile number's not hard to find. If you fucking got some Google powers, fucking have at it, cunts.
Yeah, yeah. Diggers.com, contact us. All right, round 11, let's go. Thursday night, the Brisbane Broncos 36 defeat the Newcastle Knights 12 in Newcastle. The Broncos tries to Billy Walters, Jordan Rickey, Corey Oates, Herbie Farnworth, and a double to Selwyn Cobbo. Knights tries to Frizzell, Ponga, and a double. Not a double, two conversions, two Callum Ponga. Sorry, the Brisbane conversions because Tony Stay's got five and a penalty goal.
I think this is life for Newcastle for several years now with Ponga's contract. The odd highlight moment, but ultimately uncompetitive. Broncos, I feel like they, you know, albeit without Reynolds, still controlled the game and didn't really have too many problems handling the Knights and anything they threw at them. And
I don't think it was as easy as all that. I mean, there was a point there with not that long ago, like about 10 minutes to go, 13 minutes to go, when it was tied up, wasn't it? Or it was 14-12 or something like that. And the Knights were like, you know, obviously trying to, you know, get over the top of them. And then we had that one try with the controversial obstruction call that the Broncos scored. And after that, then the Knights
I felt like the Broncos just had, when they needed a big play, they come up with it. And the Knights, when they needed a big play, they were off the mark. And they had their big name player in their side. He come up with a highlight moment where he ran around the fullback, and all power to him, but they need more out of him.
I think, and again, I'm probably more inclined to agree with Nate there, that the game was relatively tight in terms of, yeah, the Broncos looked more in control, but just didn't seem to be able to break through and run away with the game. They were the better team, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
But up until that point, Newcastle were keeping themselves in it. You know, there wasn't a lot in there, but they weren't letting the Broncos get away with what they wanted to do. And when that call came, capitulated.
And if it wasn't that one, it was the drop the heads and they scored the next try, and then at that point, then they just let, like, you know, way too many through at the end in like a very quick succession.
Yeah, when it's those like barge over, with no one around, you know, and people don't look at getting in there. That's the thing. I think the issue for Newcastle is if you look at the successful teams and how they've gone about things, you know, the Melbournes did this with their big three. They didn't go out and pay big money for potential. They had their core unit. They developed that. Then they saw who was going to become a leader from within that group, who was going to become influential from within that group, started to mold the rest of the team around them, and then those players got their big paydays. You know, exactly the same with Penrith. They've had, you know, the fortune of that team playing together for a good long time. They've obviously come up through the juniors, a lot of them together, being in that area. But they didn't offer Nathan Cleary stupid money for his potential. They waited and they saw that within that group, okay, so Nathan Cleary is going to become a leader. We had him earmarked anyway, so we're glad that worked out. But then when he has taken that step and when he has actually stepped into that leadership role, that's when he's got his big payday. You know, it's not as if, and the Knights have done it backwards. They've gone to Ponga and said, you got some athletic gifts. We're going to pay you a lot of money and hope that you turn out, which I think is doing a disservice to the young man himself. But he's now trying to shoehorn himself into a role that I don't think he feels comfortable in as a leader. I think he's definitely an effort leader and a spiritual leader, and he's the one that can, you know, take the intercept, make the break, throw a long cutout pass, that sort of stuff. But that's a different set of skills than actually leading a football team.
But your leadership has to be on display for 80 minutes.
And that's what I'm saying. They haven't waited to see if those qualities were in him before they've paid him leadership.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. What were your thoughts on Milford? I thought he looked pretty good and played pretty
controlled.
He was okay considering
6 months out of the game sort of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, he's only just rejoined a squad for training.
Obviously, his fitness wasn't there, but yeah. He might get some game fitness back, but he's not the type of guy you would imagine has been putting in huge hours of cardio during his time out. He's obviously been training, and I just wonder if ultimately 14 might be his spot for the Knights for the rest of the season. They might get more impact out of him, but with injuries and stuff, they'll probably end up keep playing him at six.
And this is the thing. I was trying to think of whether or not Anthony Milford was reliable in defence or not, and all I kept coming up with that, you know, I don't think I ever saw him shirk away from responsibilities. You know, fucking shirked a field goal. Was fucking... when
it was a whole lot worse
field goals,
sixes
was like
in the game.
He was like a fucking Italian in an army uniform. But all of a sudden, you put him in and say, okay, you need to put hits on people, and he was in there. So you might be right, Glennie. 14 would be a good shout.
Big statement for the... Add? Sorry, just to... I just think for the Broncos, within themselves, but also as far as, you know, their continued development as a competitive side in the NRL, it's a big statement for them to win like that without Reynolds.
That's it.
Last place team on the ladder, though, too.
True.
Yeah. But again, like, they had all the excuses.
Yeah, yeah.
To go down in that one. But Winston in the Facebook group said, bodies are dropping in this game like it's been played in southwest Sydney. Oh, Ed's throwback. Ben said, maybe with his dislocated elbow, Bradman Best might actually be able to touch the ball down over the try line instead of getting held up constantly.
Yeah. That was probably an understated factor in the game.
That's pretty fucking
gross.
Fuck me.
He is a big target for them on that side of the field. It's probably something I overlooked as far as the Knights. Towards the back end of the game especially, he's big for them, and he wasn't there.
And Jason, he said, Milford goes missing in the second half against the Broncos. Definitely has a better ring to it than Milford goes missing in the second half for the Broncos. There you go. How good.
You done?
They're done.
West Tigers 36 defeated the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs 22 at Leichhardt. The Tigers' tries came through Garner, Toa, Madden, double to Kemo Malo, and double to the re-emerging from park football, New Brown. Madden, four conversions. And the Doggies, 22 tries to Burton, Marshall King, Karaz, and Shoop. And Burton, three conversions.
It was a long way from complete control and convincing performance, but and we were very, very shaky with Jacko in the bin, and the Dogs looked like they were going to be every chance of finishing over the top of us quite embarrassingly, but they steadied themselves and ended up getting the job done. I would have expected, given the way the Dogs have been going and all the rest of it, that the lead that the Tigers had would have been enough of a foundation and given them, you know, enough impetus to go on with. But they dropped their bundle there for a patch during the game, and the Dogs, obviously, on the bounce back, were trying to, you know, scored some tries and got back into the game. But happy to get a win. Not sure I'm going to crow too much about it, but we'll take it.
How much does it worry you that the Dogs, who I think up to that point were averaging, you know, 9 points a game, put on that many points against you?
It doesn't fucking surprise me, because when the Tigers switch off,
you got to reboot the whole fucking thing.
Oh, fuck me dead. Control, Alt, Delete.
Fucking pride in your eyes as you just threw down a computing reference.
Oh, how good.
I'm proud of you, lad.
Yeah, that's it. I'm that my fucking just sounded like that much of a nerd. I'll be fucking buying a Tool Nation membership shortly.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, that turned quickly.
Yeah, fuck all those cunts.
the opinion of one host does not represent the thoughts and feelings of this show.
That's right, because you two are fucking cowards. But look, we'll take it. We'll take the win. Again, happy with Jacko's influence over the team, and his 2 million touches is just not even near enough. Just controlled.
So here's the thing. We spoke about this in the membership, and we've spoken about it privately. putting a motion forward that Jackson Hastings henceforth be known as Sting. So Sting is obviously a famous practitioner of the tantric arts, and part of the tantric arts is, you know, touching something 487 times without having any result. And so Jackson Hastings is the biggest tantra practitioner in the NRL.
The only results he gets are fucking wins. All he does is win, except for those times he loses.
But he'll always win the fucking battle, the most touches in a game across the entire league every week.
And he'll always win the battle of me with the most touches of my dick when he's playing.
Gross.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone is competing with me, but I win every time.
Way to take that down.
Well, yeah. This was a family show. Yeah.
Is it really? There's some fucked up families around. Who knows? And my wife is texting you, Nate, so I don't...
Nate, can you get extended on the family. The WHO and say we've found a new symptom for COVID. It's a complete lack of filter.
Yeah, but I mean, that would mean that all of us have fucking struggled with COVID for at least 50% of the last 10 years.
Oh, no, believe it or not, that's with a filter.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's the revelation of the evening.
This is going to get fucking loose if I ever get it. Michael in the Facebook group, he said, are the Tigers sponsored by Elmo because they are a club of Muppets? Haha, well done, sir.
Wow.
Brendan.
He did tweet that before the game started, though, so, I mean, yeah, you sure showed him.
That's true. Brendan, with some fucking awesome Dairy Queen vibes, he said, good on the West Tigers, celebrating 100 games. Every game in the greatest game of all is an achievement. Well done, Alex Twal. What a fucking effort.
The man almost got the try.
It's so funny. That look, that still shot of him screaming. Fucking, who was it? There was was it Toa that went the try ended up getting disallowed that one, but yeah. Him in the background just screaming for the ball because he would have went in under the sticks untouched. Oh, fucking hilarious.
God. Joshua said, Hastings has completely turned the Tigers around. They've gone from completely dog shit to slightly above complete dog shit. Inspirational stuff.
I agree. He's a god.
Matthew says, looking for some positives here. Kiraz is promising. Also, great to see RFM overcome his injuries. Yeah, he was like a rising prospect before he turned into a fucking turbo impersonator. we just read Matthew. Richard, I said, July 18, 2021. That was the last time the Tigers won 13+.
Wow.
There you go, Glenn. 10 months and 2 days for Real Dad to wait to be an insufferable pain in the ass.
Here we are. I'm a fucking delight.
There you go.
Exactly. That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Let's keep the Dairy Queen fucking vibes going. The Parramatta Eels 22 defeat the Mighty Manly Seagulls 20 at Parramatta. The Eels tries to Opachik Pinacini. And a double to Perham. Manly's 20 tries, a double to Garrick, Christian Tuipulotu and Morgan Harper. Garrick, two conversions. Now,
have at it, buddy.
Look, I don't want to... I'm trying to stay Dairy Queen here. Look,
black cat, cat.
I'm about to grab my cat and black cat, cat. But Ben Carmen's black Ashley Klein. Well, it started. It was a cracking game and a great performance from Manly, particularly against what they're up against in this game. Would you like to talk about the game itself first? Because I got some shit to get off my chest.
You go for it, man.
Oh well, just the absolute, like, we had such, you know, this controversial refereeing going around. Like, for example, the obstruction bunker call with the Newcastle Knights on Thursday's game. You know, people are not happy about that, but it's not often that you see refereeing going into a game with the mindset of what can we do to make everything fall one way. Now, I wouldn't say it's cheating. I definitely wouldn't imply, like, you know, match fixing or anything like that. But it's just unbelievable in this fucking day and age to see the 9-2 penalty count and you think, oh, well, they got two penalties. Yeah, they did, but none from Cummins. He didn't blow a single fucking penalty. One of them was from the bunker, and the other one was from an obstruction in a try situation, in a disallowed try, and that was the only penalties they got. No six agains, no repeat sets, despite fucking dominance of the general running of the game for, you know, probably 40 to 50 minutes of the total running time of the game. A fucking sin bin for something that was like a fucking penalty. Definitely, I mean, actionable, but penalty. And then fucking you get the ridiculous situation with fucking Christian Tuipulotu where it was like, you know, you'd look at that on the NRL highlight reels every year going forward as the greatest fucking clutch game-saving fucking try-saving tackle of all time. No, let's fucking call that. Yeah, Morgan Harper going up to the fucking bunker where he didn't knock it on. The bunker goes, oh, no, he did, when he didn't. There was no evidence that he fucking did. So, plus, so then the Eels threw the forward pass, and then it went to the ground, and then Manly dropped the forward pass when they went to pick it up, and he goes, oh, no, it's nearly knock on. Just everything, it was like, rather than like, here's the rules of the game, let's fucking adjudicate the rules of the game. It's no, something happened here, find a way to fucking make it not go to these cunts. And particularly in the last 15 minutes, with it all on the line, is when it got it at its worst. And it's just a fucking disgrace. Now, I'm trying to be fucking Dairy Queen here. That's our vibe. That's the fucking, this Dairy Queen thing, like, that's our 2022 vibe, Jay.
That is.
It's how we roll this year.
It's not mine.
It's dare I say, it's the new fucking Twill Nation aesthetic. The fucking Dairy Queen. But, and I say this with all due respect, but if it so happened that on the way to the Dairy Queen, that entire bus full of people, everybody that both of those cunts love, happened to crash into a fucking industrial tanker full of AIDS dipped in monkeypox, and in that brutal clash of fucking steel versus flesh, those loved ones drank it all up and soaked it all in, resulting in them, you know, being forced to watch their fucking loved ones die slowly and wither and fucking succumb to terrible disease. And then just before the moment of sweet deathly release for their loved ones, they get pushed into a fucking wood chipper, and then they take that fucking AIDS monkeypox loved ones slurry, and then they mix it up and make this fucking AIDS monkey colada, and then have that cocktail seasoned with fucking the bomb beyond insanity. Then they gurney it into fucking Cummins and Klein's fucking dickholes until it fucking liquefies their internal organs, explodes out every fucking orifice with the resulting AIDS poxy guts fucking collected up, mixed with latex, molded into replicas of Big Dick Barry's dick, attach them to Sibians, position them in such a way as to fuck their fucking corpses to their second, third, until infinite deaths. Then, I'm just saying, it might make the Dairy Queen go down a little easier. For me, personally. Now, Morgan Harper is still obviously not fucking... he's still, like, he wasn't bad per se, but he's just a loose individual. And when you find that you've got it all rallied up against you, you've got to go, okay, it's all up against us here. We're not going to get a fucking call. They're looking for an excuse to make a call on us. So what you have to do then is say, okay, we're not going to give them the slightest fucking possibility or sniff of pinging us for anything. And then you get people like your Harpers and not particularly on this occasion, Marty DePauw, but you get your Harpers and like your Sean Kepis, and they just get, and they give them that little sniff because they're fucking hothead spastics, and it's the way it goes. So I'm not happy about those guys. However, you know, for the most part, I was very happy with the performance. The attack was fucking, you know, was pretty good. I don't know what else to say. Glenny, would you like to say something?
No, I had fuck all for this game because I figured you'd waffle on. You didn't disappoint.
Righto, Danny. He said, how teams don't just go at DCE every set in good ball, I don't know. He has no idea and is a spectator in defence.
Wow. That's like tweeting hashtag Tigers in decline in 2014.
Brendan, he said, I wonder how many trials will be scored this season against Manly due to the fact that the highest paid player in the history of the game always leave the men outside him high and dry.
Yeah, now, but he didn't. It literally didn't happen.
Oh, it did. Not Ryan, though. in the interest of balance. He said DCE throwing passes half the width of the field for tries, while every time Cody Walker throws one longer than 2 metres, it gets intercepted. Hashtag value for money.
He does have that in his game, though, fucking Cody.
Certainly does.
Is it funny how he's actually succumbed? He's become like, now that's like his thing.
Yeah, that's
you know how like it, you know how it became like it was Brett Camorley's thing because he had some fucking high profile ones.
I was just about to say Brett Camorley's. Yeah. I thank fuck for him.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben.
It's a long time. It's a long time since Brett Camorley played, and it was still his thing up until like probably 12 months ago.
Yes. You know, it's the most tragic passing in his life, including his fucking.
Fucking! If anyone, I'm putting fucking $1,000 up to give me some contact details on this motherfucker.
Two for a bad day.
I don't know who you are.
Maybe if Brett Morley was half as beloved as Brandy Alexander. Ben said this turf.
This is that filter shit you were talking about earlier.
Have you had yourself tested?
I got the beard. This turf was looking like Brookie circa 2017. Seems only right it's taken out Turbo.
You got internet.
It is fucking disgusting. It is fucking disgusting, though, like the way, like, it's almost every game where it just looks an absolute goat track over there. Yeah. And that stadium's pretty, you know, it's only like fucking 2 years old or something. What the fuck are they doing out there?
Is it something to do with the amount of dirt under the grass when they put it there? As in,
I'm not a horticulturist, so I couldn't give you the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just think they just got a shit team of groundskeepers or whatever.
And just to keep Nathan happy, the other Nathan clone, he said, Tom just fills in for Ruben when Ruben has niggling injuries. You're hearing it more and more.
Yeah. Hey, there wasn't that. He wasn't the. There wasn't the only comment about. There were plenty of them in that thread.
There were like three.
Well, there was like at least five, I reckon. And like one of them may be me, but like that's not
the point. I'm saying it for a lot of years. You are the Pied Piper of cunts.
Last week there was one, and then if there's five this week, I mean, like you are legitimately hearing it more and more.
No, they're not. They're reading it. They're hearing one. Yeah, because I'm only reading one per game.
Yeah, but then you combine that with me saying it, and then like it's still going to be more. Tell me how many times I've got to fucking say it each episode. And I tell you, fucking absolute tragic for fucking Tommy against Parramatta in the wet. That poor cunt has the worst fucking luck. And it really just comes down. I mean, there are times when you say, I want to say, and this is the only time I'm ever going to say this. You know, you could probably stand to be more like Kalen Ponga or more like Clint Gutherson in your mentality and the way you play the game. Because when it comes down to when it's fucking your life on the line or a try, they'll let the motherfucker touch down.
Wasn't that how he did his peck?
He was he was coming across in cover defense from like you know left towards the right touchline.
Oh, okay.
And Sivo was going to score the try, and it was in the wet. Sivo stepped inside, and so he went and he slipped out, and then he went to sort of reach out, and so they like peck, you know, did the peck.
Fuck.
And this one, like, I don't, was it Nicora? I can't remember who it was, but I think he would. I mean, he saved the try. But because the ball was sort of breaking away from him, he's reached out underneath a fucking forward to hit the ball away, and then this guy's just landed straight on his fucking thing. And like, look, I respect the fucking commitment to stopping a try being scored and all that sort of
it's
thing.
It's fucking painful too, and you know how I know that?
Yeah.
Because that's how I did mine.
That's how you did yours the first time, or the fifth time?
The first time.
What, overestimating your own abilities?
That was his first time. The second time was the boxing ring.
Correct.
Yeah. Has there been a third time?
Oh, there's been 100 times. It just comes out fucking off its own accord now.
So when it comes out, obviously you know his came out a lot more fucking forcefully and violently than yours ever came out.
My shoulder socket is now essentially like Jay's anus. It's just, there's nothing holding anything in there. It's a cavern.
Warm and inviting.
Anytime you want to come and fuck my shoulder socket, man, you're welcome.
Mate, I can't relate.
Jay's in too.
Yeah, no, yeah, look, I can't relate though. I just know, like, you know, you put it on like the pain scale, like, you know, what's the, what would you?
Oh, like pass out worthy pain. Like,
really?
Oh, fuck yeah!
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Serious talk for a sec, Nate. At what stage does his biscuity vibe start to outweigh his potential value?
Not yet.
Okay.
At the end of the day,
not a season removed from a Dally M year.
If he was like Tim Moulton or Teddy when he was at the Tigers, where they could just be jogging back to fucking pick up the ball with no one 50
minutes. Benji 2006 through 2009.
Yeah, I mean if they were just jogging back 20 meters away from any contact, and then all of a sudden they just go boom sniper and it's ACL, you're gone for the season.
Yeah.
But I mean, like he is the majority of his are just like this year, for example, got fucked out of the shoulder trying to, you know, with a forward landing on him in a weird fucking set of circumstances. He had fucking Elliot Whitehead fucking hip drop him for the injury that he had at the start of the season, and that's that. I mean, like, you know, that hamstring at the start of last season, that was, you know, obviously his. And after that, the only other sniff of injury he had in the last 2 years was when he got fucking coat hanging in the face and they thought he might have had a fractured cheekbone.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I mean, these aren't, it's not like these non-contact fucking just shit just going, just, you know, springing on him.
Yeah, gotcha. You know, okay.
I mean, I think it's like, it's kind of like the Kieran Foran sort of thing, except like I think he plays too hard, like physically. Like you see even like last year and everything, like he'll take these runs into the teeth of fucking forwards, like in attack, like a Panthers back, or someone like that to take
Panthers back five multiple times a game. But please keep going.
Well, no, because they don't. They stay out on their fucking wings and in the centers and shit. I mean, they might fucking bring a cart. They might cart it back when they're coming back. They might try and cart it back when they, you know, as is their job after collecting a kick. And I mean, he does that too. But I mean, you actually have fucking, you don't have like a Marty Tapau. You got forwards that actually don't fucking mind the contact and will fucking dig into the fucking line 10 meters out. Whereas Tommy will try and force his way through and score like that. So,
So essentially what Dylan Edwards, okay, cool.
Well, nice. Dylan Edwards, what, I mean, like, we'll wait till the Penrith game. We'll talk about fraudulent people. Yeah. Dylan Edwards only exists on your lips because To'o was injured for so many games at the start of the season. And he fucking basically collected all the work that he would have otherwise taken off him. And the easy junk meters, as we call them in the game.
So weird flex here. We're talking about like a biscuity fullback versus a better one. And your thing is that he stayed injury free longer than other people.
Oh no. Well, no, I mean, he's had his injury problems as well. I'm not talking about injuries.
Right.
I'm talking about
that's
quality
right. Yeah. Play. Won a grand final with him. Yeah, you're right. He did. Super injured. Still won the grand final. Fuck. Are you a sleeper Dylan Edwards truther?
No, Dylan Edwards is a fucking rubbish player behind a fucking monster 15, 16 other players. And because Charlie Staines isn't anymore, so I mean, I'm just trying to think of anyone he's better than in his team, and he's not better than any of them. But we're not talking about Penrith right now anyway, so we can get to the Penrith game.
We will.
And you can talk about that all you like, because honestly, after this game, I didn't even fucking think about rugby league at weekend. So, and it wasn't from the sense of like, fuck you, fuck the NRL, fuck these. It was actually worse than that. It was probably sadder than that. It was more like, I didn't even fucking remember when games were on. I didn't even think about the fucking sport for fucking 1 minute. So, nice. And you've done your fucking thing. So we go on to the Dragons. Yep. Actually, I lied. No, actually, I lied. I watched this game. God damn it. But after this, the Dragons 24 defeat the Warriors 18 at Jubilee. The Dragons 24 tries to Ramsey Molo Murder Jr. and double to Lomax. Lomax, three conversions, one penalty goal. The Warriors 18 tries to Johnson, DWZ, and a double to Vialia. Reece Walsh, one conversion. This was actually, like, I think this is a fun game.
I thought it was entertaining. Entertaining game between two pretty evenly matched sides, I thought. I think what it boiled down to in the last sort of 15 minutes was Ben Hunt and not Sean Johnson taking control in that period of time where the team needed their seven the most, and that proved the difference. I thought Johnson had a couple of moments, much like he's had the past few weeks for the Warriors, where the game was there and the play was there to be made, and he went nowhere near it and took completely the wrong option. And It's a bit of a narrative going around Sean Johnson. He's had those couple of field goal, feel good moments, but he's building up a bit of a resume of moments where he's taking really poor rookie level options that he should nail 9 times out of 10, which is disappointing. Got to give some credit where it's due as well. I've been a pretty vocal about the fact I didn't really get what everyone was talking about with Cody Ramsey, but this game was the first I've seen that went some way to justifying some of the hype around him and why they've got wraps on him at fullback. He took advantage of the opportunities in the game and fucking showed some good speed and put himself in good positions and had a quality match. And his teammates really got around him. So he's obviously held in fairly high regard within the playing group as well, it would seem.
Well, they had him for periods last year on the wing, and he was terrible. Like, defensively, he wasn't great. You could see he was like one of these guys that was like he had attacking skills and speed and all that sort of thing, but you didn't really get to show him that much.
Mm.
But this guy, I thought he was fucking great.
Yeah,
like this was I presume what Dragons fans have hoped.
And to see him back himself as well, like in the try that he scored in the first half, where he's got guys outside him, and it's probably put the ball through the hands is probably a logical,
the safe option.
And he really backed himself, stepped off his right and straightened and backed his speed and strength to get there, which was positive for a young player.
Yep.
And then in the second half, with he made the long break, summed up the situation, and threw the pass inside, which ultimately led to the Lomax try. So yeah, quality performance.
I think for the Warriors, they miss a lot on their bench.
Mm.
Like they have that intensity in their starting pack to stay with a lot of teams. They're not going to keep up with your Melbournes and your Penriths, but I think they can mix it with the majority of them. They did a very, very good job against the Dragons for big parts of this game. But when the AFBs go off and guys like that, they just lose so much intensity. And Glenn, exactly what you were saying before was spot on. The amount of especially fourth and fifth tackle options that Sean Johnson just absolutely fucking butchered.
Mm.
And that's from stuff like just taking a stupid option on the fourth and getting caught with the ball.
Mm.
Taking
it down a short side on the last tackle, like 15 metres out from your own line.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
It's even this thing of, like, I often say the opposite. It's, well, hang on. If the dummy half can see that markers are gone, which means that one of the defenders in the line has to come forward and take the place of where the marker's going to make the tackle, which creates an extra man or creates the possibility of an overlap down that short side. Fantastic. Why don't people run those plays when they're there? Johnson does it when markers are perfectly set.
It didn't look like it was on at all to me.
And it's man on man, with no space to work with.
I feel like they miss Josh Curran as well, and I think that's understated.
Yeah.
There's lots of talk about Tohu Harris coming back and what he means to the side. I think Josh Curran is equally as important, but it just doesn't get the level of respect from the wider, from people outside of probably the Warriors. I'm sure they understand how important he is, but he just shores up their middle, and he's just one of those effort guys that makes those little 1% plays around the ruck and cleans things up, and I think that's what they're really lacking.
Yeah, that's it. Lando, you said, I was quite pleased with that effort. Ramsey far exceeded my expectations at fullback. There are a few blokes there that had their best game for the year. Young Manslaughter Molo, murderous Frank's brother, looks to be a player of the future.
That's it. Great. You fucking landed on it.
That's it. When Moose and Sewer come back, we can take Woods and Laurie out the back of the shed, tell them to look at the flowers. Griffin Ball is hard to work out, though. Yeah, you're not wrong. Phil, you said, nice to see us actually move the ball, except Sewerley. Griffin Ball. Simon Griffin, funnily enough, he said, said it over 1,000 times, Warriors suck balls from the back, from the front, from the side, even the inside. Yes, head up the bum stuff. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Keeping the flag alive, sir. And Richard, he said, if Ben Hunt and Zach Lomax get injured, St. George will be able to officially change their name to the St. George of the Warren nil. Nice to see Ramsey have a good game for the year to give the Dragons fans a little more false hope. Yeah, Ben Hunt was amazing again.
Yeah, and for Warriors fans, I mean, like, they weren't terrible in this game, despite the problems that Sean Johnson inflicted on them. Despite that,
yeah,
they were actually, and I don't know if it was just the feature of the game being two teams that are fairly evenly matched and on their day either could have won or not, considering some of their recent form as well, I mean, I think it was an uptick for them too. Yeah,
much improved. Look, I still think that SJ is the difference here in that, If he'd have just played some high percentage plays, if he'd have just tried to build some pressure, if he'd have just actually taken some time to consider what he was going to do, then the Warriors would have been able to get over because they were well in this game. But yeah, anyway, not to be. On to the next one.
Right, the Cowboys 36 defeat the Melbourne Storm 6 up there at the abattoir. The Cowboys tries to Gilbert, Robson, Talangi, Drinkwater, and a double to Jeremiah Nanai. Holmes 6 conversions from as many attempts. The Storm, a try to Felice Kafusi. I forgot, I just had a mental blank of what that, Jada Pinkett Smith, that's right. And a conversion to Nick Meaney.
Despite the Storm outs and as significant as they were, this is still a big statement from the Cowboys. I think they put in a great performance. They got some great individual performances from some of the young guys, Nanai and Drinkwater as well in particular. But just on the night that they put that together against, obviously they were up for a game against quality opposition, I think this is the worst I've ever seen Melbourne play. I can't remember seeing Melbourne.
You texted us saying that as well, yeah.
I just didn't think they had games like that in them. And that could be naive, but we talk about this next man up mentality and they've shown it time after time up and for whatever reason that this game on that night was not the one. Just fucking one of those nights.
Look, when we talk about that next man up philosophy, the other thing that Melbourne's had the advantage of for so long is continuity.
Mm.
So they didn't need the next man up until everyone around the new person had been in their role for 3-4 years.
Yep.
And then even in crucial positions, your job's still a shit ton easier if everyone around you is a 2-3-plus year teammate. Yeah. Whereas now they're replacing people who are next to each other.
Yeah. And you've got guys like Aramaya, he's a plotter. That guy's a fucking plotter. And Melbourne's not synonymous with running plotters at any stage of a season. And he showed that he is not up to that fucking standard, and he was exposed horribly by the Cowboys. And they did a good job of identifying that he was struggling and not up to the task on the night. And they exploited him. Yeah. Fucking amazingly well.
That's it. The other thing Melbourne don't seem to have anymore is that calm head. They don't have that Cooper Cronk, that Cameron Smith, that when they get in a position where it's a grind, just take the game by the scruff of the neck.
I think it's Jerome Hughes is probably that guy, but for him to not be in the side, and then that's the next two guys are probably Munster, who's not a calm head, and maybe Cheese, who's also not a calm head.
Yeah, that's it.
It's fucking.
I mean, they can pick a team up and put it on their back and lead by example and that sort of thing. But that's not,
it's not that quality.
And if that doesn't work,
they can also over-try.
And
when they start to get behind and things aren't going their way, that's exactly what you need is a calm head to settle them down and get into that, as you say, Jay, the structure and the grind, not overtry.
It was fascinating to me how quickly Melbourne, and I said this in a text to you guys during the game, just how quickly Melbourne turned back into wrestle Melbourne. when they had nothing else to do, like those old habits came to the front again, and they were holding on in tackles, and they were slowing the ruck down, and they were trying all their old Storm bullshit that used to work for them, and the fucking whistle blew every single time.
Yeah,
as in, if I'm a Storm, if I'm a Storm fan, I'm looking at this wondering, how the fuck did we not have two and three players sent to the bin for they didn't go the way of, well, okay, fuck, our game plan is that we'll put two in the tackle and set the defensive line. Oh, we need three and sometimes four in the tackle. Let's get more in the tackle, shut the ball down, and do it that way. They had their two and they just held on and did the old fucking wrestle and try and flip and just lay there in the tackle, and they weren't allowed to get away with it. It was fascinating to watch. But to the Cowboys' credit, their fucking defense at the moment is legit.
Yep.
And remember, that was always a feature of the Cowboys when they were peaking, in the teens, you know, like when around the time they won their premiership. Remember, there was the stories coming out that they had the sand pit up there, and if you missed tackles in game, you had to do They're getting back to that level. I mean, and that's a great way. It's a great way to build a new side with young guys, new coach, all that sort of thing. Just get this rock solid foundation.
Yeah.
Of defense in there, and they've got enough talented young guys and everything that the rest of that shit, it's coming amazingly well as well.
But then again, look at Kyle Felt, 15 minutes.
Mm.
Jason Tomalola, 26 minutes.
Mm.
Yep.
They're not at that level where it's like, okay, well, somebody goes down that's half influential.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we all go to water.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a resilience about him which isn't normally synonymous with a young side, especially with a coach that he's not a Bellamy or a Bennett or a guys that have coached a long time.
Well, he's got some fucking Tigers influence in him.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is when they need resilience, they just have to think, oh fuck, Toddy used to play for the Tigers. They're always in a fucking game.
Yeah,
maybe we're always in a fucking game too.
You're fucking welcome, Cowboys fans. Toddy played
for the Tigers. And he's not once in his life taken a successful toaster bath. So if he can do it, surely we can do this.
In the essence of the Dairy Queen vibe, what about the resurgence of Petahiku?
Always loved the man. I felt like I did him dirty and fucking in New Zealand for a little while there. I mean, he did sort of he came back pretty well there, I think, towards the end of his stay there, which is what allowed him to earn the next contract that he then, went and signed with the Cowboys.
Yep.
And I love the guy, and it's how good is it? I mean, that guy, he's almost been kicking around as long as the show has.
Yeah, like I was going to say, the Hiku haikus were rolling out. He debuted 2013. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Has always been, you say a lot about him, and he had his ups and downs in his career, but effort was never one of them.
Yep.
Whether he was, a little bit suspect in defence, he was trying his guts out. So, what do the socials have to say about that? Lee said, Cowboys defence is amazing. Frustrating as a Storm fan, but I think they might be the real deal this year. Mate, it's still pre-Origin.
They're definitely the real deal. Are they like a grand final chance real deal? Yeah, probably not.
They're
guaranteed finals, and they're absolute top four chance.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's it. Matthew, you said, Dearden adds value to the Cowboys. Reminds me of Chris Keating's influence when he went to the Dogs. There you go. Jordan said, all hail the Chad, the future ninth immortal. Peyton surely in the convo for coach of the year if they hold their form. I'd say that. I'd definitely say that.
I'd agree.
Chad, once again, making us and just generally the NRL community in general look like fuckheads.
Yeah,
with the
really
way he's gone up there, earning every damn cent of that contract that he was roundly mocked for signing.
And, okay, here's the thing. We just spent a good chunk of the last game berating Sean Johnson for his poor fifth tackle options and poor decision-making.
Yep.
Sean Johnson is 1,000% of the athletic specimen that Chad Townsend is.
Mm.
But But Chad Townsend is a much more effective half at the moment just because how he understands the flow of a game.
It's a rugby league IQ issue, not an athleticism issue.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Ben, you said, ah, so Storms can only win at Amy Park in 2022. I get it now. Sharky Dave said, usually the Storm wait till after Origin to shit the bed. You hate to see it, but more than that, you love to see it. Carsten, he said, Black Vans are collecting family members of the players in Melbourne right now. There you go. How fucking happy is our little fucking SS trooper sitting all the way over there in Europe watching from afar? Craig.
Maybe this will dig him out of his fucking little pile of Nazi gold and get him to come down here for a meet-up on grand final weekend.
That's it. Craig, it's a great all-round game by the Cows, playing with ever-growing confidence. Tonight, one big factor was the referee not putting up with Melbourne's slow-the-ruck tactics. Exactly.
I love Melbourne fans. I mean, if they thought that was a hard outing for them in terms of, you know, watching the game and how the referee was treating them, welcome to fucking every game against Melbourne Storm in the last hour. Yeah,
played
ever.
By every other team, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And Liam, he said, why did I watch the election results instead of this game? Massive swing to the Cowboys, Thurston to BPM. Next game.
Right, the Panthers, 32 defeat the Roosters, 12 at the SCG. The Panthers tries to Appy, Crichton, James Fisher-Harris and a double to Luai. Cleary, 5 conversions, 1 penalty goal. The Roosters tries to Teddy and Momorowski with Sam Walker, 2 conversions from 2 attempts.
Fucking cracking first 30 minutes of this game.
Mm.
Probably the best 30 that the Roosters have put on this season so far. Which, you know, again, you're the defending premiers. You're on a massive fucking win ratio this year. You're sitting on top of the competition table. Every team should be playing their best game against you. You know, definitely should be playing their best game against you. And the Roosters definitely did that. They were prepared. They came out. They were willing. But it was just another one of those occasions where Penrith just looked calm. They looked as if nothing that their opposition did would faze them. And there were times in his first 30 minutes where the Roosters were applying the fucking blowtorch. But
yeah,
Penrith just have this attitude at the moment that, well, that's fine, they can do this now, but over the course of 80 minutes, we will just go harder for longer than they do.
Mm.
And we won't crack now, and we'll just go through our game plan and we'll execute exactly as we need to, and we'll come out on top. And that's the script's playing out every week. When it was 12-0, that was, you know, Penrith weren't so much in control. They were sitting in a good position, but the real killer was that Appy try right before half-time.
Yeah.
Which was some of the most, like, I fucking cannot wait to see Appy Coruscant out and how much he improves the Tigers. Like, you know, some fucking Dairy Queen vibes, Glenn. All day, every day, you just need to be fucking praying that nothing happens that takes Appy Coruscant away from your club. Because he's the difference maker in situations like that, where everyone else on both sides are seeing the setup for the field goal because there's like 8 seconds to go before halftime. And he's the one that nods on and goes, yeah, okay, it's on. And just goes himself.
He's a student of the game because he saw Carl Lawton do it a couple of weeks ago for Manly. The same thing with DCE stood like 30 metres out right in front of the post and they run to start face. Charging through.
Chase face.
Hey, check process. Out the game tape. It fucking happened. The listeners will let you know.
Okay. Yeah, so
Carl Lawton taught Appy everything he knows.
Oh, fuck me. Okay. I agree. I think Penrith, you know, this is fucking every bit of Dairy Queen vibe. There was a lot, even in this game during the commentary, that, you know, there was a lot of mentions that Penrith are a benchmark and, you know, they set the standard and that much I do agree with. But I think, you know, Gus copped a lot of flack and Penrith and their fans copped a lot of flack for the 5-year plan, which turned into a however many year plan. But I think they've actually changed. Not only they're the next evolution of team that has changed the game, and it's probably coincided with some of the rule changes, which certainly suits their style of play. But how they've actually gone about building this team and the way that that is so conducive to generational success is going to take a long time for most of the competition. There's some teams that are, you know, Melbourne has players coming through their system all the time and they do it brilliantly well. But you see time and time again, players come out, you know, and end up at other clubs. You're seeing a bit of it with Penrith, but that nucleus of Luai, Cleary, you know, Crichton, Yo, the way that they've put
Edwards, the next immortal.
I was going to great lengths to not mention him.
The only way that cunt's going to become an immortal is if a fucking vampire bites him.
I was actually wrapping your team, if you'd let me finish. The way they've actually built it and the way that that goes with those young guys playing together for so long and coming through the system is fucking amazing. And it shows in the level of understanding that they have with one another, which is a big part of what they do. It's talent and it's skill and they're well coached, but there's nuances that come only from the amount of football that those guys have played together that no other team can fucking match.
Yeah, you're right.
It's the understanding you can only get from, like, you know, when you wobbly aching chicks together and playing together from like the age of 10.
Oh, why do you cunts always have to make it about fucking the baboon fucking quest when I'm just here trying to spit rugby league truth?
I'm just saying it's that's an aspect you ignored, Glennie. I mean, I was just adding an extra layer of understanding. Like, you know, you want to hold your line, you want to learn to run good lines and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's one level of the game. Next level of the game is, you know, not fucking, you know, not sword fighting and shit when you're in, you know, in a tight situation. These things all count. It all adds to the understanding.
Or if you've got four people wobbly aching, then there's that understanding that 25% of your pleasure is coming from the teammates, which is a bond that can never be broken. But look, for the Roosters there, they just weren't given the opportunity to use their advantages, you know? And obviously, teams probably don't try it because they don't get a lot of opportunities. Penrith are just fantastic at controlling that territorial battle. But if there is an area that Penrith are potentially exposed in, it's in the air, on the fringes. But
and at fullback, if you keep kicking it to Dylan Edwards, he will drop it eventually.
Yeah, but also Crichton now jumped Tupou as well, and I mean that's what then Roosters would have to consider that as their fucking best matchup on the field against.
It'd be on Tupou.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, like, that's there was no, you know, I mean, that was ultimately what, you know, broke their back.
That's it. So, and then just in the forwards, they haven't gotten out of that tough, gritty forward preference yet. You know, when they've got their Radleys and suches on the field, then there's a little bit of it, but they still have that, you know, hard, gritty, grindy forward pack about them and less of that, you know, smooth, fast, efficient forward pack that seems to be dominating these days.
And then you've got the fucking the throwback dumb cunt forwards. Yeah, like Collins. Like old mate Letters.
And Letters.
Yeah.
Did you see Trent Robinson's presser?
No, I did not.
He came out and defended him.
So, he came out and he's like, oh.
Okay, what was his rationale?
I don't know if he swore, but maybe he swore and that referee's extra sensitive to that. So, yeah, no, nah, if that's it, you can't swear.
Mate, they've been sending you for that since fucking under sevens, mate.
But then he went on to very fucking casually mention that, oh, yeah, so I think that's we've had a sin bin every game in the last three games we've played against Penrith. And so he was just expressing his frustration at that. So
by getting himself sin-binned or sent. I'm tired of fucking burning my hand on this open flame. Yeah. So to show them, I'm going to fucking put both hands in the open flame.
I'm going
to
put it out with my face.
like outstanding logic.
But here's the thing. How would he just off the top of his fucking head unless he'd spoken about that with him to amp up the fucking flame in him?
Yeah.
So, yeah, fucking master coach, my balls.
Yeah, you wouldn't think he'd be doing it to amp up the flame. You'd be saying, look, we've had a sin bin against us for the last three times against Penrith. You're the man most likely. Don't. So whatever you think, any time during the game, if you're thinking of something, don't.
Yeah. Oh, and I've just deleted the socials for that, so no socials. Oh, good. Let's go.
Okay, the Raiders 32 defeat the Rabbits 12.
Legitimately, they will not be hearing it more and more because I just deleted it.
Because I just deleted it more and more.
You will hear it less and less until next week where it will be more and more.
And Dubbo. I already had a friend whose older sister, you know, he lived up here and older sister moved down to Dubbo after the uni, and she'd come up and she'd come up for family things and stuff, and she'd be talking about, you know, how she was living in Sydney. They were like, no, you live in fucking Dubbo. ain't Sydney.
Jesus Christ.
A long way from Sydney.
We make fun of people in Campbelltown saying they live in Sydney.
And well, you should.
Now, the Raiders 32 came through Trotrich, Papali'i, Young, Chris, Timoko and Savage tries with three conversions from Jordan Rapiner and a penalty goal. The Rabbits 12 came through tries to Damien Cook and Alex Johnston and Taffy two conversions from two attempts.
Souths have had some lowlights this season as they try and navigate the post-Reynolds era and bring Ilias along and Cody Walker overcomes his demons. This effort was amongst the worst of them. 21 missed tackles in the first half alone, just not to standard. And to the Raiders' credit, they made them pay. And they scored some fucking amazing tries, the Raiders. And I think the Savage try with, I think it was about 12, 13 minutes to go, was just piss poor defence in the middle, right up the guts, letting a winger run through like that is a sign that they'd quit on the game, which is poor from a side that made the grand final last year. I was very disappointed in South's performance. Impressed by the Raiders, they've had their ups and downs this season, and some fucking they've got some crosses to bear as well over some of their performances, but this was a good one for them and a concerning one. If I was a Souths fan, I'd be concerned about some of the effort from the team as a whole, but also some of the individuals.
If I was a Souths fan, I would be concerned about the fucking West Tigers this weekend.
Well, you should be.
I think you've got a fucking red hot chance, Glennie.
I think it's fucking crazy if the Tigers aren't favourites, Nathan. You're hearing it more and more. We are not favourites. We are $3.10 outsiders.
Listen, I was just trying to open up the fucking. I was just trying to open up footy tips to get the list of all of them. Because, like, I wonder.
Maybe
I wonder,
if you do hear it more and more, we become favourites.
Yeah.
Don't
wear out that phrase, all right?
Yeah, I'm going to fuck people it up for everyone.
People are going to suffer some extreme fatigue, I think,
sick of this
very shortly.
It's a fucking Tigers fans. That fucking Tigers guy on the show started fucking talking about it. I was fine with it when the other cunts were saying it. And then he had to join in. Now it's fucked.
I'll tell you what, that phrase was fucking great until I started hearing it more and more. Now it's fucked. It's fucking more and more session.
I'll tell you what, I have had some requests, like the hoodie that you and I are both wearing at the moment, Glennie.
Yeah.
People missed out on it the first time they wanted it, and I was thinking of doing a rerun and then put on the back, you're hearing it more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. It works on so many levels.
It does.
Oh,
it really does.
Fucking love it.
We should also get one done that says wobbly H's between four people fucking makes a great team.
look, it's a little bit verbose.
J-Logic.
I mean, if we could distill that down to, you know, punchy, you know, five or six words, it'd be great.
Quality.
All right. Socials.
Oh, yeah.
It's Raiders game. It's Raiders. It probably isn't any, but, you know.
Oh, no. The Raiders, they came out of the fucking woodwork here.
Oh, they're back, are they?
Oh, yes. That's it. Sam, this is your Tigers mate here. Today, I'm supporting Albo's Bunnies against Canberra. Fitting. I get that someone's convinced you that politics is important, or that, you know, your vote matters, or that whoever's in power can actually affect change. But, like, fucking real talk, man, you've just said you're supporting the Bunnies.
Yeah. And you know, when you talk about the most pompous motherfucker that you probably ever encounter in your life, a man that drives a fucking European car and lives in a fucking gated community, and he's the most anti-fucking liberal fucking person you'd ever meet. Like, fuck me, dead. Get a grip on your privilege, mate, and understand where it comes from. Fuck me, dead. This cunt with his politics. It's worse. It's the only thing that he fucking tweets, fucking, that's more annoying than his political views, is fucking shit about fucking microphones.
I'll tell you.
Fucking stumbled into that too.
Do you know what my favourite time is?
Fell on his fucking feet.
The very frequent times that he is on an aeroplane burning fucking jet fuel, poking holes in the ozone layer. Because that's the only time I get a reprise from his global warming tweets.
Well, I mean, the other time you get a reprise is when he gets deleted from this
his account gets permabanned.
I mean,
and
which is not an uncommon occurrence.
I would have fucking loved to have hung out with him, but he's fucking dogged the boys.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait to catch up on Sunday. Can't wait to see you. Excellent. Yeah. It'll be good to see you, mate. That's no worries. It. Didn't fucking mention it any time. Yeah. I'm fucking off on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I went to footy with him on Friday night. I went to breakfast on the Saturday. I saw him plenty of times, so I don't know what you guys are doing.
No, at least you had to fucking sit with him and listen to who the fuck he was voting for.
Maybe two groups. Maybe two groups of people need to listen to you. That's all I'm saying.
The sound that comes out of the fucking microphone.
I've now spent more time at meetups with fucking Special K online.
Wow.
Yes.
Right.
Given it was
anyway, we spent time with Ned, which is kind of the same thing.
Given it was a 3-day bender. But, Jake. Sorry, Ben. He said, great win for Papa's 250th. Great footballer. Better bloke. Jason said, Raiders with 3 in a row. If I was a Knights fan and they did this, I'd be buying my grand final tickets. As a Raiders fan, I understand how a 26-round season works and how often the Raiders have shown this glimpse only to let me down. Fuck, that's some damage right there. There's some trauma. Jake, he said, don't know what happened to the Rabbits, but glad the Raiders ran into them now, not when they're in good form. No Whiten putting it 6 rows deep helped. On a side note, I've noticed the last couple of weeks, several penalties being blown outside the 40, only a few of which have actually been called back to correct. Interesting. Have you noticed that?
I must admit, I have not.
No, I'm going to keep an eye out for it. And Troy said, looks like Chotrich has finally shook off that Bulldogs virus and is looking like a rugby league player again.
Yep, slowly, baby steps.
Yes, how good was that fucking try that the that young, was it Savage?
Yeah.
Scored? Fucking hell. I've seen it. I was at the gym when this game was on, and so I'm watching it, and I've just looked up. Like to see it, and I'm like, oh, it's one of those things where they've fucked the tape up and they've accidentally hit fast forward, like when they're going back to do a replay or something. Like, oh, yeah, no, he's fucking quick.
He's actually that quick.
got you so jazzed up, you immediately dropped and punched out a quick set of cock push ups.
They're called cheating planks.
Okay, now finally, the Sharkies 25 defeat the Titans 18 up at Hope Solo Coliseum. And the Sharks 25 came through tries to Tracy Hines, the Moot, and debutant Lachlan Miller. Nico, 4 conversions and a field goal. The Titans side 18, a double to Jared Wallace. Esan Masters with a try and 3 conversions to Jermaine Osako.
I think wins like this are very important for the Sharks for the rest of this season. As in, they had that blinding run where Talakai embarrassed Manly. But then even in the second half of that game onwards, yeah. they they really haven't even come close to that. So I think getting into a game where it was just based on, you know, they had 52% of the ball, but they completed at 82%. So they kept themselves in this game. They earned the victory. It wasn't just that there was some fluky shit that went on that did this. This was a good old-fashioned get in and do the fucking work, do it well, and the results will come. So I think this is the sort of thing they can build on. The Titans probably played the best football I've seen from them in the last couple of rounds. You know, definitely the last couple of rounds, maybe the last five. But when it comes down to it, the Sharks just seem to have that added benefit of a little bit more just raw talent, especially in their outside backs. And the luxury of having Nicho Hynes, who understands all positions, you know, in the spine so well, directing them around.
Yeah. And the big difference having him there doing that,
yeah,
instead of being stuck out at fullback and then, you know, being able to actually put a replacement fullback in.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what we were talking about last week. And, it just slotting him back into the halves reaped immediate benefits.
Yeah, I don't think their improved performance, which was needed after last week's Magic Round, pretty dismal effort, which we spoke about, but they were certainly much improved and not surprising, as we said, with Hynes back in the seven. Miller at fullback, cracking debut. You know, opportunistic try, you know, but fucking fast. And
mate, they're all worth 4 points.
Exactly. And I think he's got a bit more to show what he's capable of. I think he's quite the talent, if a little bit raw in you know, 13 aside rugby league, but he I don't know how long's before Kennedy's back. He's probably got another 4 weeks or so.
Wasn't he only three?
I was expecting him to get six. I think he only got three.
Got three. So.
And then obviously Ramien comes back as well, and
So Ramien's back next week, and then the week after.
Kennedy, the week after.
That's it. Nice. Joshua in the Facebook group said, "I don't think it's a coincidence that the Sharks' attack has broken down since Graham got back. Might be time for the tap before it turns into Gallen 2.0." Yeah, you said it last week, Nate. Like it really is unfortunate looking at the moment.
Yeah, and we obviously love the guy.
Yeah,
on this show, and I hate it when guys go that one year too late.
And it's you almost want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but
the
drop off is fairly fucking dramatic.
You know, especially for what he means to that club.
Yeah,
you know, you talk about when the Broncos started to have their big drop off, and it was when the last of that, you know, winning group retired, which I think was that Corey Parker from memory.
Possibly, yeah.
Or is Corey Oates like still technically the last?
He's still a tie to that era. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, he's also stuck out there on the wing as well. So yeah, there's only so
but,
much.
Yeah, again, just in that group, but not so much during a game, but just like as part of the culture. But and I think with that young group of guys, having somebody like Wade there would be absolutely invaluable. Absolutely invaluable. Yep. But maybe it's time to lessen his role.
Yep.
As in, is he playing his best football for the club if he's given 20 minutes a game to just go out and really just, you know, show these guys how it's done or take control in tough times or that there? Because, for the periods he was out there, he didn't look comfy at all.
Right. Here's just some socials.
Well, there was the first social there. The next social, Scott.
We just talked about it so long afterwards. You lose fucking track.
I'm trying to have some Dairy Queen socials vibes. Oh. Weaving the comments back into the show.
Wow.
Yes. It's content.
Some Dairy Queen.
It's
fucking professional.
Scott said, 2022 Titans are like the 2018 Panthers, in my opinion. Just got to trust the process while I have fandom-based depressed outbursts, I guess. Yes. How fucking dare you associate something to do with Joel Embiid to the Gold Coast fucking Titans?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Same sort of result, though, really.
Yeah, look.
AJ Brimson is Ben Simmons.
He is.
If you want to play this fucking game, it's Ben Decker.
David Fafita is James Harden.
There we go. We're done.
Right. Okay, so that is full time for episode, I forget the number, 465, was it?
Yeah,
and if you want to support the show, be sure to head along to patreon.com/TwillNation and join in all the fun. Getting a lot more game companions going this year. They seem to be lining up well for us time-wise, and, you know, we've had some ones that we didn't think we could do, but they, you know, they lined up right, so...
Oh, yeah, fuck, we're going to do the schedule now, weren't we? What have we got this week?
Yeah, yeah, but you open up and just have a look and see what's going on, and I'm going to just go into the tipping right now. Standings at the moment, we've got Barrett's Belmore on top. First time you ever fucking hear that. Cook tip there as well. Then we follow up, we've got Cows to win 22, Mitch Rich, Kiwi Villa, McTool 75, Alpha Ben RL, Reynolds Raging Roana, and Craig C. Cross. Oh, sorry, and Jared Ash. That is our top 10. And get your tips in, and who knows?
We have Tigers Rabbits at 5:30 on Saturday.
What's happening Saturday? Look, we could probably swing that second half again if Glennie's up for it.
Yeah, I think I can do it.
I won't stand in the way. You guys may have to roll without me on that one, but far be it from me to stop the members getting what they want.
Yeah, if Glennie's there and feels all right and thinks he can do it, I'm not averse to the
Let's
possibility.
Let's lock it in.
Done. All right,
fantastic.
Then. There you go, fellas. Another game companion for the second half, and tremendous.
Okay.
I wonder if we could try and do it live. Probably not, because that's usually the bandwidth issue, isn't it? Just doing live,
yeah,
the live stream audio and shit. Yeah, that's all right. Members, patrons, you're going to have one Saturday night, so look forward to that. Anything else you fellas want to mention before we pull the pin on this one?
I didn't believe you when you said I was going to fucking fade, but I'm fading fucking hard.
All right, don't die, Glennie. Everyone wants to hear you celebrate the epic Tigers victory over the Rabbits.
The GoFundMe for Glennie's funeral will be up.
It's kind of a thing to make a joke about, but hey, whatever. Let's go.
If we get another 50 patrons before Glennie dies, I will live stream his wife choking me.
Oh, wow. Shit took a turn.
Can you imagine? Like, we get
when you realise I faked my death just to get the GoFundMe money, and then I walk in and go, hey, no, I'm back. Oh, wait, Nathan, what are you doing here? Yeah. What was that mark around your neck?
Can you imagine, though, we raise $5,000,
yeah,
which would be enough for the fucking loser from Counting Crows to fly himself out here for an appearance, because he's so fucking desperate for any sort of human interaction these days.
Oh, my God.
And he thinks he's, like, going... Think he's going to the funeral of, like, his biggest fan, and there's going to be nothing but Counting Crows t-shirts in the audience. And he gets there and he's just mercilessly mocked by fucking hundreds of people for 20 minutes. Oh, that'd be worth it.
But I reckon for that kind of money, we could get him to sing, like, you know, Mr. Jones, except, you know, like, yeah, swap out Jones for Glenn or something like that.
No,
you know,
it'd have to be like, COVID in Glennie blocked his fucking airways.
Oh,
he
fuck.
Stared at the television, saw Luke Brooks
running 90 meters, then running back.
He burst an artery.
Oh, fuck.
Oh. See?
That's the sort of entertainment you get on the free show. Imagine if you went to patreon.com/TwillNation. Imagine the treasure that lies within. And
find out by signing up, paying us money.
And, yeah, that's it. So we'll be recording again on Wednesday, and I'll talk to you fellas then.
Don't die, Glennie.
Oh, well, I'll try not to.
Feel better, Glennie.
Okay. See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.